I want to read a little bit tonight and talk to you just a little bit, and maybe we'll comment on some things. I haven't felt the hunger that I would like to feel in the last little bit. Of course, I know some of my fellows are tired. They've been working and they're tired. Some of them haven't worked all that much. It's kind of been coming and going, but there's a few of them that has really stayed with me. And they're tired. And I know some of the sisters are tired because sometimes they press themselves as to certain issues and getting out mail and whatever. And I know that people get weary. I know that they get tired. Whereas we all get tired, but if we love the Lord, we're not weary in well-doing. We just get weary of foolishness and all those kind of things. I've spoke in the last little bit, we brought out some of the mysteries of God because even though I didn't feel the hunger the other night, I don't know what night it was. I might have mentioned to Brother Taylor. I mentioned to I come here and I would have closed the book. I would have walked off and I wouldn't have spoke one word. Because I came here and it was like everybody was just dead. No response whatsoever. And I knew that one of the reasons is because a lot of my men that had been working hadn't come in. Some of them that hungered and thirsted after the word of God to help me bring forth these things. And I had some audience it's just a bad situation. But I prayed and I asked God to help me. It's like Brother Branham again. I at times I understand that he just walked off. He left the whole thing. I remember, I believe it was Freddie Gray one night. He just walked off and left the sacred desk. He just wasn't there. He didn't make no attempt to do anything about it. But we try to the best of our ability. We can't do anything of our own selves. It's of Christ or it is completely void. It's like a sister I got. She's sitting right here. The second place right here. She's a very carnal-minded person. She's diligent. She tries to take care of her family the way she sees it. And she tries to relate to her husband as the way she sees it. And you can't feel bad at people. Sometimes they have problems that you don't know anything about, or they have problems that if you had, maybe you'd be as bad or worse. But the woman is very carnal-minded. She reasons. She's very carnal-minded. And it holds her back from the good things of God. And instead of getting in and flowing with the things of God, she's very carnal-minded. Not that she resists me. She has in the past resisted me, and God reproved her over it. And she had a lot of problems. But she doesn't do that. She comes in pleasant. She comes in and tries to, be with the audience. And I'm not saying these things because she's contrary to me to try to rebel against me, because she doesn't do it. But she is very carnal-minded. She just can't get these things in her mind as to a spiritual sense and as to what the spiritual significance is, even in helping to evangelize the world. She just can't do it. And a lot of people are like that. So I say this again to you for your benefit. The Bible says the natural man. I want you to think on that. I want you to differentiate. I repeat these things because you don't get them. Somebody says, you've already said that. I know. Like scientists, I believe they say you have to say it 7 times sometimes before a person gets it. But when Satan is hindered, sometimes you might have said 70 times. I preached things like this year, and it's 5 years later, 10 years later, that somebody come and told me they got a revelation. And I've just stood in awe and look at them. I'd say, you got a revelation. And I think, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I preached that. And you mean your mind has just now got open to it? See, but nevertheless, they can't help that in a way. If they'd be more submissive, if they'd be more concerned, if they wasn't so intellectual, if they wasn't so natural-minded, they could help it. But when people keep their minds crowded with the ambitions of life, they're not going to do much. The parable of the sower was that Jesus sowed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. And the Bible spoke of some that fell in such a place that the cares of life sprang up, choked the seed. and it didn't bring forth any fruit. So when the little blade is struggling, trying to bring forth fruit, and all of the things that you entertain as those things of life to mix with this, you can't bring forth much fruit, if any at all. So you need to think that over. Keep your minds clear. Whatever your mind is, that's what you are. You don't need to tell yourself that you're something else. You are exactly what your thinking is. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think so dirty and filthy. I must be filthy. It is true. If you think dirty and filthy, you are filthy. Unless it is thoughts that are suppressing or thoughts that are coming against your mind to attack you, whereas you don't give place to those thoughts, not even for a moment. But if it is something that you let your mind dwell on, or you entertain, or these thoughts that come to you, then you are dirty and filthy, because that is thoughts from the heart. And if you think clean, then are you clean. If you think spiritually, then are you spiritual. If you women, all you ever talk about is cooking a pie, frying an egg, having a house, your relative, your sister, your mother, your car, your money, whatever. If that's all you ever talk about is the natural things of life, then are ye natural, and that is why you do not receive the things of God. But a spiritual man, Paul said, would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He meditates in the laws of God day and night. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves won't wither. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Whatever he does, the Bible said, it will prosper. So then in these things, when you allow for all of this conglomeration of fear and frustration and doubt, anxiety, bewilderment, then you're in a wilderness. You've got to come out of that. If you ever get over the Jordan of your own intellectual reasoning into the Canaan land of Christ as to the mind of the Lord, where the fruits of Eshkol sign, then you'll be all right. But as long as you relate to the old tree of knowledge, going back to the tree in the garden, then you'll always be natural minded. You will never receive the things of God, neither can you know them, because they're spiritual to discern. You might be efficient to the extent that I might use you, or God might use you, or he might allow you to be part of this to the extent that you might be efficient book-wise, intellectually, naturally, a lot of ways. But as to having godliness, the Bible said, add to your experience godliness. As to having godliness or these wonderful attributes of Christ, you'll never have them. God will bless you in the natural for what you've done naturally, but that isn't going to do the job. That isn't going to do the job. So if you come to the house of God, you should hear. You should be wide awake. You should never be slothful in the things of God. If you want to be slothful, then let that be achunda. Don't bring it into the house of God. Be diligent. Be diligent, because something will happen to you. I tell you the truth from my heart, not lying, not trying to scare you, not trying to say anything. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, and you fall into the hands of a living God when you come to the knowledge of the truth. For to know to do good, do it not. The Bible said that is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So when you come into the presence of God, you come into these things, you become illuminated, and then you have your problems if you don't conform and follow through. I want you to have the spiritual things of God. I don't want you to come here as an audience, as to reverence Brother Pike, and to think, well, this is our pastor. He loves us and we love him, and we're going to sit here and give him reverence. I want you to do that, but that isn't all I want you to do. And if you do that, and that is all that you do, then I don't want you to do it. Because I want you to come here hungering and thirsting after the things of God, that you may be filled. For if you don't hunger and thirst after the things of God, as to the spiritual things of God, you're not going to be filled. We're just going to play a game. And we're never going to make the translation. We're not here to build buildings, to plant vineyards. The Bible says there's no time to plant vineyards and build buildings. Though we're building buildings, we're trying to do what we can for God, as to house and as to have a base of operation to win souls around the world. So then let me exhort you to listen carefully. Speaking of the sower, I did not know that I had turned right to it. When I look down here, I'm right here at it. I say so often that when I come to the sacred desk, as a rule, I never know what I'm going to read. I open my Bible, and wherever God puts it, that's what I preach from. I've done that for years. And I do that to follow the Spirit of God, that He might do what He wants to, that I don't be in His way in any way as to my thoughts, my desires, or my ambition. I'm not telling you to do that. A lot of men carry notes, and they come to the sacred desk for those kind of things, and that's fine. I have no objections. Studying to show yourself approved, it doesn't matter to me how they preach. It's just my lot that I have done it this way. I do it this way. And tonight when I came up here, the book opened to the chapter over in St. Mark. It's chapter 4. And it is to the parables. And again, that shows that my spirit is in harmony with God's spirit, and that He opens the book to this. And my spirit is already talking about that. Many times, you probably recall this. Many times, you that walk with God, you've come to the church, and before the preacher ever preached, you'd already been thinking on that and talking about that particular thing. And the preacher would go right down the line because you was walking in the Spirit. And it works like that many times. It's like this with us, and it works like that. All right, chapter 4, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. Now, we've been right there by that seaside. Some of you have been right there by that seaside. Brother Richard the Jew was over there not so long ago. He was right by that seaside. We walked there by the seaside. We stood on the Mount of Beatitudes. We looked out over the seaside where he fed the multitude. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship. The things that Jesus would say was so fascinating that it would draw people from all around. And when they talked, they would go back to the ones sometimes that had sent them, or to other people. And they would say, never a man spake like this man. Never. Never. So it says, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them that hath ear to hear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, Jesus said. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So, we see here Jesus teaching in parables. Now, the question arose, and of course it arises to you and I, why do you preach in parables, Jesus? The Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. So it arises as to question, why, Lord, do you speak to these people in parables? You must have a reason for doing that. And then again, how did they know it was a parable? In that he had spoke to them, and it wasn't parabolic. He had explained the scripture to them. So then here they hear him preaching to these people in a different manner and yet saying the same things, but yet in a parabolic form. And he says, why are you concealing these things from them people? They don't understand what you're saying. Well, you just came right front and center with us, Lord, and you said it just like it is. We understand exactly what you're saying. See, you just come right up there, you just say it like it is. All right. In the service, they used to tell us to come front and center. So, he says here, I did this for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. That seeing, they may not see as to eyes of understanding, Jesus was saying. And hearing, they may not hear. In that the Bible said, having ears, they hear not. He said, if they did hear, then they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That is, those that can hear, he said, they'll be converted. If they are children of God, they will understand. Because as Jesus told his disciples the parable, so does Christ Jesus within our heart as today. The Spirit of Christ tells us the parables and explains the word and the mysteries. But Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now this is where we're at today. It is not given to the bond child. It is not given to the natural man. It is not given to them. We have people coming here. We have all kind of people coming here. We have natural minded people. We have poor people, rich people. We have uneducated people. We have all kind of people coming here. Prestigious people. Some just common folks. They come here. All of them here. I preach to all of them. God speaks to all of them to the extent that the preacher is preaching. But the Bible said it is not given unto the natural people to understand these mysteries. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're preaching. I don't see anything mysterious about what you say. That's because you are not a child of God. If you was a child of God, you would know immediately that it is a great mysterious thing. Once somebody said, well, if it was mysterious, you know, I could tell it was a mysterious thing. No, you can't. Because the Bible said you cannot see when good comes. You can't understand the mystery. All you hear is the sound of my oral expression. And not having ears as to the church, hearing what the Spirit saith to the church, you don't even know that it is a mystery. All you do is hear a sound. But those that are given to God, those that are not interested in having something in the world, they hear it in a different way. You hear it one way and it sounds like beautiful music to your ears. See, and you think, well, I got that. I understood that, but you didn't. Because your heart is in the world. Your ambitions is in the world. And what you're trying to do is get all of these heavenly treasures. And you're trying to put them in your earthen vessel. Whereas the Bible teaches that heavenly treasures are made for earthen vessels. In that you are a Christian. We have these heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. But you want to get these heavenly treasures and you want to put them in your earthen vessel and then you want to put a lock on them and then you want to go out here and do your thing for your prestigious purpose or to get you a career out here in the world, or to be something in the world and move up in the world. See, this is what you're wanting. And then you've got all of these heavenly treasures, and when you can, at your convenience, you want to turn to these things and you want to use these things to your convenience, because you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. See, but I can assure you that you didn't get nothing. One day you're going to unlock that little treasure chest and you're going to find it's just as empty as it can be. It's like Brother Brown that put something in a little cornerstone, put it in a little can, and the people waited until his departure and they went over to get it out. We spoke of the revelation of it and what it had to do with. When they went to get it, the little can had deteriorated, and whatever was in there, in the container, it also had deteriorated. It wasn't there. It was gone. Which indicated, as it was, as the message of God through the great man of God had left. It wasn't there for them to fuss and to quibble over, as they, a lot of them are doing. So then you take this treasure and you want this treasure. You think that you've got this treasure in your little vessel. But you're going to find out that in your whole chest at the time of the marriage, you don't have anything. But there are people that have this heavenly treasure in their earthen vessels. They have no goals in the world. They have no plans in the world. They're not looking for prestige in the world. They're not seeking to be anybody in the world. They've given up the world and all that the world has to offer. And they've turned to God, and they're coming after God, and they want to be of God. And their treasures are in heaven. They've laid up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and moth doesn't corrupt, knowing that wherever their treasure is, that it will captivate their heart, and their heart will be there also. So then they're not interested in the things of the world, not trying to heap up treasures against the great day of the coming of the Lord. But they're just simply trying to live a plain, ordinary life to where they can be a Christian, where they can overcome, where they can have sufficiency in life as to eat and to drink and to take care of their little family, and their treasure and their abundance of joy, and that they're working for is on the other side of the hill, as we say, over in the glory world. They're not interested in making a show here in front of people. They're not interested in what they could have here. As a matter of fact, they deny themselves. And the Bible said, all of them that are of God, let them deny themselves. Let them come after me. Let them take up their cross and follow me. They share what they've got. They share their finance. They share what they've got. As it's written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They might make an abundance at certain times, but they don't keep it. They don't treasure it. They take and they share. They give it to somebody, the orphans, the widows, or somebody else, because they're not interested in the treasures of this earth. They're not interested in their forms and figures and faces and bodies. They're not interested in that. They know that's the bastard child image, and that God despises that image, and he hates that image, and that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, and Satan is the one that pampers the flesh. Satan is the one that makes you want to be a pretty girl or a pretty boy, or makes you want to be on TV or radio, or makes you want to be some kind of great celebrity or an artist or some kind of dignitary or have some kind of position of admiration in the world. Satan does that because he wants to use your body. As I said, the dispute is over the body, and he's disputing over the body, and we're wrestling against powers of evil to redeem the body. And he's after the body. He's trying to take the body so that he can use it up in the flesh. Because as long as he can walk in you and talk in you, as long as he can sit in you and show himself that he is God, as long as he is in you, then that means that he's got control of your body. That means that you're lost. That means that he can subject your body to his desire, and he can stay out of the dry places where he seeks rest and can't find it when he's not inside of a human body. So you that are intellectual, you that are intellectual, you're lost. I mean, let's face it. You come here and sit in my audience. I feel your spirit. I feel your minds. I can tell. Jesus said, why does thoughts arise within your heart? I can tell. Thoughts arise in your heart. Man sitting right here in this audience on this part right here. Thoughts arise in his heart continually in my service. He's very intellectual. He reasons intellectually all the time. And though he's a fine person, he doesn't give himself to the spiritual things. And because he doesn't give himself to the spiritual things, then he's in trouble. I saw him in a vision as one of the most wretched people that I have ever seen in my life. Cruel in his mind and wretched. That would do evil in a minute contrary to God and the things of God. Now you may think, you know, that everything's all right with you. And you might say, well, Brother Pike, it's like this. I wouldn't really be violent. I wouldn't really hurt anybody so far as really doing anything, you know, bad. But God doesn't see you like that. The little foxes that spoil your vines and that our vines have tend to grape, you allow for these little things and God calls it wretched. You might think that it's just a little human reasoning with you, but with God you are a murderer, as I saw this individual. You are a killer. You are one that God doesn't favor at all. God magnifies the thing as to what it is. You say, little fox, you say, this is a little thing. You say, Brother Pike, I wouldn't do anything bad, just these little things. Like I spoke of something a little bit ago. You may sit up here on the benches playing the instruments. You may sit in the corners here. You may do that. You may come in as an audience. You may sit in the seat of the scornful. You may do that. And when you do that, you stand in the way of sinners. You come here and you may just have what you call a little contrariness, a little rebellion, or you may just have a little fault in your life. But when God speaks of it, he doesn't see it as a little contrariness. He doesn't see as a little rebellion. He doesn't see a thing as a little thing. God sees it as a great mountain. And he says rebellion is the same as witchcraft. And stubbornness, he said, that's the same as idolatry. When you are stubborn in that you are not submissive in your spirit as to the minister or as to one another, as to go on with God, when you are stubborn against the word of God, won't listen to the word of God, won't do the word of God, when you come here, you won't work through the system, you're just going to do it your way. God says you're just the same as a witch. You're just the same as somebody that's over in the foreign countries that's worshiping idols in my sight. You are heathenistic, he said. For rebellion and stubbornness is the same as idolatry and the same as witchcraft. So then, when you do these things and you rebel, you are as a witch. I told you about a woman. She rebelled in my service. And I thought, this is bad. She shouldn't do that. But she said in my services, I feel this rebellion. And I thought, now, Lord, the scriptures can't be broken. That's the same as witchcraft. I went off into a vision, and I saw her in a vision. And she was standing before a great open fire. And as she stood there, I saw this witch come up and cut her hair off. Remember, a woman's hair is her glory. And I saw this witch was cutting her hair off, throw it into the fire. See, the same as witchcraft. And today that woman still is at large in the world. She still hasn't come to God. She still hasn't submitted. And she still got one problem right after another. So that's the way it is with you. You may hear me preach. You heard me preach. And I tell you certain things. Like a woman that was in my audience, she came regular with her husband. And I told him what a cruel outlook that she had in her rebellion. And some of them didn't seem to think so because she was a fine person like some of you sisters here coming in and out among us. But one day in conversation, they heard her say something about a little child coming into the world as to a birth or whatever because she didn't want any more children. And she straightway told them that she'd take a big long pin and run it through its brain and kill it. See, you may think everybody around you is just so-so. You may think they're sweet, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against your human person nor your human brain. Your body can't do anything. If God put you into the grave, that would be the end of you. If the spirit departed from you, that'd be the end of you. You can't wrestle with a dead man. There's nothing to wrestle with. See, and so it is with those that are dead. They're like stone. They can't hear. They can't do anything. They can't move. There's no motion about them. But folks, we're wrestling against spirits, those things that are much alive to the extent that there are spiritual powers, they're fallen angels, they're demons, and they live in human bodies, and they control human minds. That's why the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Why does God tell me not to lean to my understanding? Because if I lent to my own understanding, I'd want the refineries of life. I'd want money. I'd want to put it up. I'd want to stash it away. I'd want security. I'd want to go here. I'd want to go there. I'd want to do this. I'd want to do anything but what I'm doing. If I went after the world, if I lent to my own understanding, I would go after the world. So then God said, don't lean to your own understanding, because Satan has infiltrated your mind and your spirit to the extent that Satan says you need a position in life. You need admiration in life. You need prestige in life. You need to be somebody in life. See, and Satan says to you, you need a little nest egg over here. You need to take care of this over here. You need to do this over here. Always keeping you fuddled up in your mind and keeping you in bondage to the things of the world. That's why the Bible speaks of the bond child. The bond child of the days of Abraham mocked the free child, in that Ishmael represented the people of the world that are in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. They are in bondage to a mind. They're in bondage to the things of the world through the mind of Lucifer that saves the things of the world. So then they are in bondage to want to be some kind of a celebrity, to have some place as a dignitary, to be some great person out here in the sports world, or some great entertainer. Always these things hamper down the mind of humanity, and they're talking to the humanity that's on the face of the earth all the time. All the time they do this. Spirits that come to the face of the earth, and they talk to these people that dwell on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation where at the end of the millennium, Satan comes again upon the face of the earth to trouble them that are on the face of the earth. He's been bound for 1,000 years. Then the Bible said he's loose for a little season. Then he comes up on the face of the earth once again to trouble the people. So then we know that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against you. I am wrestling against spirits. I'm trying to keep spirits out of your minds, keep spirits out of your heart. But these spirits control your brain. They control your reflex. They use up your life as to the days of grace. And then you have to give an account to God for letting those evil things dwell there. Like a person that's peddling dope in your community. If somebody gives them a place to stay, a place to live, they are an accessory after the fact. When they go before the judge, they're punished the same as the dope peddler, because they are the same. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And the word of judgment is upon them just as it is the dope peddler. So then we see that there is a mystery to the kingdom of God. The average individual will never get the mysteries. It's not given unto them. The natural man can never understand the things of God. He'll never know these things. I can read the Bible. He can hear that. There's people that are naturally minded, that are Bible scholars, that can actually quote this Bible page by page, verbatim. They can do that. But they will never understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Never will they understand it. I don't care if they go to college. I don't care who they hear to preach. I don't care what they do. They'll never understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. Just like sitting in this audience, a lot of times a murderer comes in here. I have all kinds of people come in here. All kinds of people. Killers, they come in here. Adulterers, they come in here. Fornicators, they come in here. All kinds of people. And I've been standing right here and see them. And I could tell that the audience never knew that there was a murderer sitting in their midst. But he was sitting there. See, he was sitting there. He came in. Or they came in, or whatever. And people that have come here for no good, come here to rob, come here to steal, come here to do those things. Watching them. God would let me know a lot of times so I could keep an eye on them everywhere they went. Every way. Say, well, Brother Pike, why didn't you just get them out of here? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you call the police? Because God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that was a creature. And the first thing I have to do is minister to that creature. That's the first thing. If he gives me an opportunity to say something to him, then I must preach the gospel to him. I have people that live on the campground that are contrary, just as contrary as they can be. I had a man to come just in the last day or two. He come and he said, Brother Pike, I want you to forgive me. He said, people have tried to poison my mind against you, Achanda. And said, I realize now that devils and demons have tried to poison my mind. He said, and Brother Pike, it has taken me all of this time to be able to understand this. All of the number of years that we tried to talk to him. He said, I now understand that. I know that now. So we said, well, what about this? That means he's in great danger. He's in great danger. And as a matter of fact, somebody just came to me right after he made that confession. They came to me the following day, I believe. Might have been the same day. But they came to me and they had a night vision or dream of the great danger that this man was in. See, you are in a great danger when you come to know. From the very minute that you come to understand, you are in great danger. You can lose your life. You can lose your soul. If you don't know, then that's one thing. If you do know, that's something altogether different. See, when you know to do good and you do it not, then is when sin comes. When you know to do good and you do it not, then it is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then if you don't know, it's different. But the Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. He said, I'll have mercy on the servant that did not know. If there is someone that does not know my will, he's committed things worthy of stripes. He said, I won't let him by, but I will only chasten him with few stripes. That is, he still should have applied himself. As the law said, ignorance, that's no cause to transgress the law. Because the law is out there. You should study. You should learn. You should know. See, so you can't get by. You stand before the judge and say, well, I didn't know the law. He said, well, what about the sign on the corner there? What did it say? He said, well, I saw it. Then you're guilty. See, we are guilty if we know that the Word of God is present and we don't apply ourselves to learn. If we know that the things of God are going forth and we don't apply ourselves to take part in it, we are guilty. We are guilty of the sin of omission. We have omitted those things. We've left off with those things. As to the transgression is one thing. As to omitting something and leaving off with it is another thing altogether. See, like a man over in the Old Testament, God gave him 10 tribes from the 12 tribes of Israel. The man omitted in that he would not take those tribes up to worship at the place of worship. In that he would not do this, God got upset, killed him, and took them away from him. We had something like that to happen not too long ago. And I talked to Brother Taylor and some of the others. I said, the man won't come here. I said, and he won't bring the people here to this place. I said, God has entrusted something into his hands. I said, but he won't do it. I said, though this is the place that God has ordained for worship, in that you are to be affiliated one with another. You're to be tied together as a unit. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And when you get away from God, it is when you get away from people. When you pull yourself away from God's people, you're automatically away from people. When you set yourself up as a little sect as to a religious thing, and you're not affiliated with people that love God, then you are without God. You're walking in the darkness. You are in your own intellectual reasoning, and that is where problems come in. See, the man should have come up to the place of worship. The place of worship. What child is there that doesn't frequent the home or doesn't visit occasionally in the home? That goes back to see father and mother. What child is there? Only a renegade. Only a renegade. Unless it's somebody that's active in the things of God, that have gone out there and give up his family for God as the missionary activity, that individual will return to see mother. It will return to see father. It is going to return to see brother and sister, because that is the family. The natural things teach us that. Even nature teaches us. And so then, that is the way it is. If you love God, if you walk in the light, you're going to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to be around them, and when you don't come around them, it means you haven't got the goods. You can say amen. Amen. It means you haven't got the goods. So, I read here where those people don't have the goods. They don't know the mysteries of God. They don't understand the mysteries of God. Oh, somebody says, that's where you're wrong, Brother Pike. I've heard them say it. I know. They get something from God. They get a tape. They get a book. They get something of Brother Branham or some, whatever, wherever they get it. They get it and they intellectually memorize it and they come up with something, you know, and they pull something out over here and keep messing around until they get a hold of something. But they still don't understand the mysteries of God. Because you bring something out over here that might be good. It might be something that's good. It still don't mean that you understand the mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. And that mystery of God is a chain reaction. It's something concerning God. It's a plan of salvation. It's not something over here where you say, I've got a revelation and that's the mystery of God. There's a world of difference. Nothing less than a world of difference in getting a revelation and coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ. People across the world get revelation. They get revelation. Did you know that revelation is so prevalent among the people as to thinking about it, you can go buy a baseball bat and on there it'll have marked revelation. So why is that? Something revealed? Sure, people have things revealed to them. But folks, we're not talking about revelation or a revelation. We're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the mysteries of God revealed. Oh, somebody says, I got it. You couldn't have it. There's no possible way you could have it. It's not possible for you to have it unless you come through the channel. God does not work out of channels. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you do this over here, and I do this over there, and Jimmy Swagger does something here, and Old Roberts does something over here, and T.L. Osborne does something over here, and all of it's of God. I know it's all of God. Every bit of it's of God. The man blows a man's brains out, it's of God. Somebody runs a little child down, it's of God. Somebody goes out there, does something wrong, it's of God. Not of God in the sense that God did it, but in that God has his way in the good and in the evil and works all things after the counsel of his own will, saying, can evil come to a city and I'm not sinning, saith the Lord. All of it's of God. God does what he wants to. But folks, I'm speaking of the mind of Christ, and I'm speaking of the will of God, and I'm speaking of the things of God. There is a will of God. There is a plan of God. There is a program of God. There is something that is a permissible thing of God, a permissible will. And then there is the will of God. So then, the perfect will of God. So then, I'm speaking of that which is the revelation of the Son of God. Well, I can tell, even talking to the audience tonight, many of you are dead. I can tell that this is falling on dead ears. I can tell it, feel it just like it was wintertime. See, out of numbers of you, you're not even understanding. You're not getting even what we're saying here. As the surface value, you're not even understanding that. And many of the people out yonder, they don't understand it. Jesus said, I feel this. He said, I'm speaking to you. The parable, he said. A sower went forth to sow. I'm sowing tonight. They shall all be taught of God. And he said, the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed the seed, but said it didn't take roots. It fell on some stony heart. Tonight as I preach, I can feel the stony heart. Somebody says, but I'm not hard-hearted, Brother Pike. I'm not bitter. I come to hear the word of God. That doesn't mean that you're not hard-hearted. Somebody says, but I'm not mean and contrary. That don't mean that you're not hard-hearted. A hard-hearted person is a person that's set in their own ways. A hard-hearted person is a person that has their mind as to doing whatever they're going to do, no matter what you say. A hard-hearted person is a person that has that outlook that they listen to the preacher and they try to incorporate what he says into their lifestyle to do their own thing. A hard-hearted person is a person that is not yielded completely to God as to receive what God says. I preach, I say, there's hungry people over here, folks. Let's give our all. Brother Taylor was saying tonight, let's give our all. Somebody says, wonderful, good preaching. They go home, they remain the same. They have something left over, and they hold on to it. You preach to a person and you say, you shouldn't go out into the world of sports. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. Somebody says, amen, good preaching. But in a day or two, a little bit of the radio of the ball game is to see what the score is. A little bit of the TV just to see if the man hit a home run or whatever the football score was. You know, because he is, as the old Chinese proverb, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. See, but Jesus didn't do that. And those that are the children of God today, they still don't do that. They still don't do that. The body of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're the body of Christ, you are completely yielded unto God. And without any reservation of heart, you are completely yielded to God. You could care less about businesses or money or prestige or anything else, and you're not going to press God or press against God or press against the mind of God or the things of God to satisfy yourself or to do your own thing. You're not going to do it, not even to think your own thoughts. If you press against the mind of God, even to think your own thoughts is the human reasoning. Then you're not in this thing. For the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jesus said, then it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Unto you, It is given unto who is it given? Unto them that belong to the kingdom of God. Them that be of God. Them that's in the other world. God said, as to you, them that are of the other world. He said, it belongs to you. This understanding, this mind belongs to you. But it doesn't belong to them that are of the world, that have the gullible desires of the refiners of life, or the convenience of life, or to stash away in this world. He said, it doesn't belong to you. It's not given unto you. For the natural man cannot receive the things of God. It's not given to him. The Bible said no man can receive anything except it be given him of God. So it's not given to him, and neither can he know them. He can't know them. He may hear, and he may say that he knows, but he does not know them. It doesn't matter what he says about it, he don't know them. He don't understand them. But it's given to the man of God. It's given to the woman of God. It's given to the child of God. To know the things of the kingdom of God. Unto you it is given. Let me comment just a little bit and we're going to close. The Bible says, the things of God knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man. The spiritual things of God, it doesn't matter if it's Brother Pike, it doesn't matter if it's Brother Roberts, it doesn't matter who it is, the things of God knoweth no man. When Brother Branham was here, as great as he was, God's things did not know William Branham. God's things knoweth no man. Neither is God respect a person. God's things knoweth no man. That is to say, the things of God does not relate to any human being. They know no man, but they know the child of God. And the child of God knows them, and wisdom is justified of her children. You can speak wisdom as to the word of God, the things of God, anywhere, and a child of God will come to the defense of it just like that, because they will justify the things of God. See, wisdom is justified of her children. So then, when it comes to knowing the things of God, the Bible said these things of God will not come to any individual as a natural person. So far as your human person, these things of God will never come to you. You will never know these things. They are higher above you than the heavens is the earth. See, they must come by revelation as to the children of God, as to the little child of God. So then they don't know you. These things don't know you. You might say, but I'm Mr. Prestige. That doesn't matter to the things of God. You might say, but I'm religious. That doesn't matter to God. You might say, but I'm a preacher. That doesn't matter to the things of God. It doesn't know you. It doesn't recognize you. It doesn't care about you. But if you are a child of God, these things of God will come to you. They will come to you. They will not come to a natural man. He cannot receive them. He cannot receive them. You can't receive anything save it be given you of God. You can't receive them. They won't come to you. They don't know you. They won't fellowship you. They don't care about you. These things won't come to you. But the things of God will come to a child of God. That wisdom will come to him. That power of faith will come to him. That power of understanding and that power of love and joy and peace. That great, wonderful ability to read a man's heart. As Jesus said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? The Bible said he perceived their thoughts in his spirit. All of these things are yours. The riches and splendor and magnificence of eternity. Given to you through Christ. They know you. They'll come to you because you are the child of God. But the natural man cannot receive these things. He can never have these things because he does not have the ability to spiritually discern. All right, so then the Bible said that we are judged of no man. That means you can't judge me. Somebody says, well, I'm thinking this thing over. I'm trying to figure you out. I'm judging you. I'm going to see whether you are or whether you're not. You can't do it. Impossible. No way. The Bible said, and you cannot judge me or a Christian. No way. You can't do it. You don't even have any part or lot in the matter. Your heart's not right with God. You're not even in the seat of judgment. But the Bible said the saints shall judge the world. I have the power to judge you, but you don't have the power to judge me. And whatever I judge, that judgment is just and it's right. For know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And the Bible said, judge with righteous judgment. And yet it tells us as an individual to judge another. If we're outside of the judgment of God, to judge ye not. For with the same measures that you mete out, it shall be measured to you again. That you should not judge another man's servant. To God he stands or falls. All right. So we can see by this that judgment begins at the house of God. And the minister has the power to bless or curse. He can curse you. He can bless you. He can remit your sins. He can retain your sins. As it was with Peter, when Peter said to the man that the heart is not right, Ananias and Sapphira, you've lied. He cursed them. Down they went. As it was with Paul, and as it was with the others, and when the man said, thou shalt be blind for a season, he cursed him, and so he was blind. A man of God can curse you. Your life ain't worth 15 cents. You sit in his audience and trouble him until he curses you, and you go out, and you may be dead before morning. That's why you should never let spirits be in here. It's like a man that used to sit about long here where Stevie's sitting right there. He'd come in, a little man, an Indian. I preach. If I said something he didn't like, he'd just solemnly me get up like that, just in a casual way, with unconcern, nonchalant, and walk right out. And I'd be preaching, I'd say, don't do that, don't do that. Like I have here, boys and girls, they get up and they wander around all over the sanctuary. They go in and out the restroom, but it's not necessary when they're really not pressed with a necessity. But he did it. I said, don't do that. I said, you'll lose your life over that. It's dangerous. Went right out. He done that a number of times. Then he moved off. Now he's dead. He come back and apologized. And I knew why he come and apologized, because God showed me that he was going to die. He did. He died. See, he thought there wasn't much to it. Numbers of times I've had that to happen. See, so you don't do things like that. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared half to death. God is not a terror. The law is not a terror to them that do good, but only to them that do evil. The law is as a protection to them that do good. This word of God is as a protection to you when you love the Lord. God isn't a terror to you. He loves you. He's gentle. He's kind, like a mother. He treats you like a little baby, but you can't play with him. You can't smirk at things of God. You can't mock the things of God. The man of God can curse you. Like again, Brother Branham was making the statement. I've referred to him a number of times tonight. Making a statement, he said, all of a sudden somebody done something in his audience. I believe it was a man and a girl. A woman. Said, and God spoke to him just like that. Whoever it was, I can't remember. A man, a woman, or both. And he said, God said, say what you will concern him and I'll do it. Because God was upset. God was upset. He didn't like it. And he said to the man of God, just say what you will. He said, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Like Elisha, little innocent children, God won't tolerate it. They came out behind this great prophet. And they said, go up, Baldy. And he kept on aggravating him until he just finally turned around and he cursed him in the name of the Lord. Two she-bears came out and tear 40 and two of them just like that. So you can't do things like that. You can't be irreverent to God. So you can't do that. God allowed that to let people know in that day that he was not going to play. There was no playing around with it. When he said something, he meant it. It didn't make no difference. If it was man, children, whatever. When they took Daniel and they threw Daniel into the lion's den, in that day when they mistreated the people of God, God would get so upset, he'd just send them over there and say, get the whole family, man, wife, children, and all. Throw them down there. Let them eat them. Bible said in those occasions it would break the bones time they hit the bottom. He'll break the bones. Like the man I was speaking of a little bit ago. Someday if the man don't yield his stubborn spirit, he's got a self-made attitude, a stubborn will. Though he tells me different. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not listening to his word. I'm watching his spirit. Somebody said, I can't hear what you say because I'm looking at what you do. And if you don't do that, someday God will break his neck. See, the Bible said concerning the Old Testament, if you have an ass, he's stubborn, said break his neck. And if you are stubborn, someday God will break your neck. He'll do it. All right, so then we see the seriousness of these things, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You can do what you want to, but you won't get by with it. You won't get by. The better thing is to break down and humble your heart, because this stone comes down on you. And the Bible said that if you don't break under this power, it'll grind you to powder. See, it comes down a little bit, comes down a little bit. The first news you know, you bumped your head, you've hurt your arm, you broke your leg, you've done some little something, and the Lord said, look out, beware, look out, beware. A little wreck over here, a little bump over here, a little thing that happens in your life over here. God is saying the warning signs. Watch out. But then when the person doesn't listen, all of a sudden God gets upset and he just crushes them. That's the end of it. So it would pay us to do what the Bible says. It pays us to come together as a brotherhood to love one another. You know, if you've never given your heart to God, you that are listening, you that hear, you that see these things, then you ought to give your heart to God. God is good. Don't let the devil cause you to procrastinate with the feeling, you know, that there's another day, there's another time. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't let the devil say, well, you've got a special time, or it's another day, or God isn't ready for you, because all of that is the heresies of Satan. Now's the time. So then tonight, when we speak to you out of the love of our heart, not to curse you, for you cannot curse that which God has blessed, neither can you bless that which God has cursed. But see, we want to help you. We want to help you. Moses got upset, cursed them people. They got him so upset, he come down off of the mountain. He'd been preaching to him, been trying to tolerate him, and they just mumble and grumble until finally he said, if I be a man of God, he said, let the earth open up and swallow them up and let them go down to the pit quickly. And just like that, down to the pit they went. Elijah got so aggravated, he kept trying to talk to him and trying to tell him, and the old king was hard-hearted, and he wouldn't listen, and finally, they sent 50 men out to get him, and got Elijah upset. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume these 50. And it got them. And again, they came, and it got them until the others humbled their heart. See, the Bible said, if a man among you speak a thing, it come to pass, fear that prophet. Oh, somebody said, I fear God. It said, fear that prophet. If he says it, if it comes to pass, fear that prophet. That's why I say concerning the ministry a lot of times, that the Bible said, seeing that he is the minister of God, and he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, will ye not be afraid, even for conscience sake? Will ye not be in, seeing that he beareth not the sword in vain? And the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back the sword from blood. Seeing that the minister of God is there, he has the ability to bless you or curse you. Therefore, be careful what you say. They sing that song, little hands, be careful. Be careful what you do. Little feet, be careful as to where you take me to. You know, you're dealing with people, like a song God gave me. People, plain, simple people. You're talking every day. You're dealing with people. Be careful what you sow, because it's going to come back to you. Be careful what you say, because you're programming people's minds. And you have to be careful. If you cause them to wreck up, then God will require it of you. If you sit back and see people suffer, then God will sit back and see you suffer. If you be merciful, the merciful shall obtain mercy. If you be hard-hearted to the extent that you resist the things of God, even to your own damnation, if you resist the things of God and not sharing your life and time and substance with others, then you must pay for it. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kindness tonight, kind attention. As to the audience, we're certainly glad to have the different ones that come to visit with us. And of course, some of these people are our children. They are our spiritual children, and we love them, and we want to help them and do everything that we possibly can to guide them, to enlarge their hearts in the Lord, and to cause them to do the right thing. That the blessing of the Lord may come upon you. The Lord said to Israel on an occasion, he said, I would that you would have the right attitude toward me. He said, I would that you'd do the things that I tell you, and I would that you try to understand. He said, so that it would be well with your children all the days of their life. Because that's the way he wants it. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. As I said this morning, the world was condemned already. But he sent his son into the world that he might save the world. Or the world might be saved thereby, through the name of Jesus. So we come together here in our little group to sing and to praise God and reach out around the world. Little Bethlehem is on the tongues of people around the world. Even my trip already, I'm getting ready to take it. I've received letters out of India. They're coming from different places. And somebody will say, Brother Pike, we're praying for you. We're praying for your trip. We're fasting for you and your trip. People are concerned. You're concerned. A lot of times that saves my life, saves Betty's life, saves our loved one's life. I'm deeply indebted to you. Paul said, indebted to the extent that I want to preach the gospel to every living creature. To all, to the Greek, the barbarian, the Jew, whoever, as much as lieth within me. Preach the gospel to every creature. I know people say, oh, Brother Pike, don't go to Israel. You can't preach to the Jew. It ain't time for the Jew to come in and all those kind of things. And I know that that's true. I know that's true to an extent. You know, God has blinded their eyes. I understand that. But that isn't the Bible at all as to the way they interpret that. Jesus said, Brother Pike, and he didn't call my name, but he spoke to me and you. What I say to one, he said, I say unto all. It's all of our responsibility. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that I go into Israel, that's part of the world. And I preach the gospel to the Jews, that's part of the world. And we're doing that and we're having Jews converted. Catholic people, just like Russia. They say, oh no, oh yes. There's people that need salvation in Russia. We're going into Russia. The Lord doesn't stop us because that's part of the world. To preach, to try to do something for God, it'd be little as to comparison. You know, there's great men on the field that's doing great things. And I'd be but a little fellow that will be doing a little thing. But what I do in the behalf of God. And then, is there any little thing in God? Isn't everything important? Even my little toe, isn't it important as to my balance, as to my image? Isn't my fingers important as to the functioning of my body or the malfunctioning? So we just have to do what we can. Somebody said, well, my little old bit won't help, Brother Pike, as to my mind, as to my substance, as to my doings. Well, God slayed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. The jawbone of an ass ain't much, is it? Just an old bone. But it became a weapon so powerful it slew 1,000 men in the hand of God. A great man back there took an ox gourd. 700 men, he killed them just like that. One man rose up. Said the battle's not to the swift or to the strong. Or that is, that's the way the Bible teaches it. He said, God doesn't care whether he's saved by one or the hand of 1,000. It doesn't matter to him. He said, come on. He got his armor bearer, went out, just him, and the armor bearer turned to flight the entire alien army because of the courage. The little boy that came over to Jesus, to the multitude, he just had a few little fishes, a loaf or two. But God multiplied them and fed the multitude. You don't know what you got. You don't know what he'll do with what you've got. It depends on your attitude as to your humility. Humility goes before honor. If you're proud and feel like a fellow that came out here one day, I was out there dirty working in some old jeans trying to do something, and this fellow came up to me and he said, Brother Pine, just as if to say I'm here. I said, well, that's fine. Didn't tell me why he was here. He said, I got a great ministry. A great person, had to do great things, felt like he was running behind with it. I believe he told me he's supposed to be on the radio and on TV. I don't know where he's sitting in the newspapers or whatever, but he told me all about what he was supposed to do and how great he was supposed to be. And I thought, well, what are you getting at? I knew where he was headed. And when he finally got through, he told me how much it would cost. And then he stood there looking at me. I thought, well, that's great. You know, that's really something. If the Lord does that for you, that's really something. And he stood there until he finally got disgusted with me and was getting ready to leave. And then he let me know that I was supposed to give him the money for this. And I thought, well, you know, if the Lord should tell me to do that, I would do that. Like a man that came to visit with me, he come into my house and he said, Brother Pike, the Lord sent me. I said, that's fine. I had a nice coach that we was using for the work of the Lord at GMC. Why did he send you? Why did he send you here? He said, well, he told me to tell you to give me your motorhome. I said, he did? He said, yep. I said, well, that's fine. I said, if he ever tells me, I'll sure do it. And, you know, I've given away trucks, gave away motorhome, and it ain't been that far back. I'm glad to do that. They don't mean anything to me. I love the Lord. But people, they get so misconstrued in their mind. They misunderstand the ways of God and the things of God. You wouldn't think that folks would get in this kind of condition, would you? I'm speaking of the world today. I'm speaking of the people of today. I know that people are to be on television and radio and in the newspapers and do all these things of great ministry going into all the world. I know there's no little things in the sense the Bible said, despise not the day of little things. But here's the thing. I thought, well, I'm going to share with you, not because you're great, not because you should be on television, but I'm going to share with you because of the love of God that you might see a light and see the love of God in my life. But I know that God isn't wanting me to do anything so far as aiding you in your cause, because you really don't have a cause. And I turned around and walked down to the house to see if I could get together a few dollars to encourage the man. And of course, he got so disgusted with me, he thought I wasn't going to give him anything, and he left before I got back. But we share with one another. There are people that need a helping hand. I need a helping hand. So many times I need a helping hand. And we share with people that need a helping hand. I pray, Lord, send the poor to my door. Send the needy to my door so I can share with them. And though I don't take any personal offerings myself, yet offerings come in from different parts of the nation, of the world, people. We get money from out of the islands. It's a strange kind of a money. And as Sister Betty has to say it, even to somewhere else, Sister Linda, whoever, to get it cashed. But they hear our radio programs and they want to help. We don't ask them to. I do let the people know that they can help if they will, and they should help. But we don't bother them about it. They're speaking what we trust the Lord. We pray. We go to God and God meets our needs because he promised to do it. All of our. He said all of our needs, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory. So we come together to worship here, to love the Lord, take a little time for Jesus. Take a little time for Jesus, the songwriter said, because he took a little time for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the songwriter said, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. So we're grateful that you should come. We're grateful that you would be a part of this operation. Richard was telling me today that there's a good possibility that he may move into this area. He hasn't said that he will, but he said he may. He's considering it. And I think he does sheet metal work, which would be real valuable to us. Brother Tony, he comes out of Louisiana. Tony come up to do a job, and I was telling Tony how he was part of this and how that he'd be with this, you know, and just move right into it. And Tony was telling me for sure that would never happen. But he's here, and one of the best workers I got, one of the most skillful men, and I guess as steadfast as any man that I've got at Bethlehem has been into these things. All right, so it was with the numbers of you. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Oh, tell me his name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. For the story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. So tell me his name. Can you sing that with me? Oh, tell me his name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. Or it bandages fear, it brings me hope and cheer. So tell me his name. Let's sing that together. If you love the name of Jesus, oh, tell me his name once again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. For the story my heart has stirred,
It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings me hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. Can you sing it with me, folks? Just tell me his name once again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame. For the story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. So tell me, sing it one more time, just one more time. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Won't you tell me his name again? Won't you sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross sin shame? For this story my heart has stirred, and it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. For it banishes fear, it brings me hope and cheer. So tell me his name again. Let's sing this little chorus, "Come Into My Heart." And while we're singing this little chorus, the altars are open if you'd like to come. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Day and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing that again. Just come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. And come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing "I Love Him." Can we sing "I Love Him"? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me.
my salvation on Calvary. Sing it again.
If you love him, he said, you'll keep my commandments.
I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise. Sing it with me. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. Let's give him a hand, can we? Let's sing this little chorus. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. Just serve the living God that has control.
And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Can you sing it with me? We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Let's let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Can you sing it with me? He is the lily of your valley, and he's the bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Sing it with me now. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, one more time. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Let's sing another chorus or two, and we'll let you go. Do you really love the Lord from down in your heart, deep down in your soul? You really love the Lord? Let's sing this song, the little chorus, once again, Sweep Over My Soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is called. plead while I sit at your feet, oh sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven, Dolores, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, and aglow with His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in His crown to shine. For they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, and aglow with His light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes. We're living in the last days now. We're living in the last days. And men are turning away from the Word of God as to sound doctrine, giving heed to heresy and doctrines that are intellectual definitions as to the Word, which are doctrines of devils. And God is calling us. He's calling us. He wants to use us. The songwriter said, come home, come home, it's supper time. Like the song we wrote, I'm moving out of the valley of the shadows. Don't want no more of the ice and the snow. I'm moving up to the mountaintop where the day star is aglow. I'm moving out of the valley of the shadows. I'm leaving the ice and snow behind, and I'm moving up to the land of glory, the land of pure sunshine. While we've got our hands lifted up and our eyes closed, just remember that Jesus loves you. That's the thing that is so important. You must remember that Jesus loves you. You say, well, Brother Pike, I don't think I've done right. I don't think that I've done exactly like I ought to do. And I don't know whether Jesus really loves me or not. I remind you again, as a minister, the Bible said, for God so loved you while you were yet in your sins that He gave Christ to die for you. That is, Jesus to die for you. And inasmuch as He loved you with such a great love, an everlasting love, then now that you stumble and stagger and that you're trying to do your very best for Him, why shouldn't God love you? Why is it that God doesn't love you? God loves you so much more than you'll ever be able to know. Great is the love of God. Father God of heaven, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your great spirit. We ask you to be with us. We ask you to bless the audience tonight. We ask you to heal. Heal the heartaches. Heal these people, Father, and forgive them. Oh God, forgive them of their wrongs. I ask you to go with them through the coming week and through the coming years to bless them. They're my children, Father, and I pray that you'd bless them. And as John of old said, I would above all things, Heavenly Father, that they prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospereth. I pray that you will grant this unto them in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing another course or two, and we'll let you go. 10,000 years can't change a heartache. 10,000 prayers can't right the wrong. It took the blood of my Redeemer at Calvary there to atone. Sing it with me again. 10,000 words can't heal a heartache. 10,000 prayers won't right the wrong. It takes the blood of my Redeemer at Calvary there to atone. Some people cheat on one another, and that is where sorrow begins. For within the heart there is a struggle, and you always lose out in the end. 10,000 words can't heal my heartache. 10,000 prayers can't right the wrong. It took the blood of my Redeemer at Calvary there too. Can you sing one more time with me? 10,000 prayers can't right the wrong. For it took the blood of my Redeemer at Calvary there to atone. Let's sing this little chorus, and we're going to close. It's called Jesus Use Me. Can you sing with me? Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross is great, I'll work for you. If you want Jesus to use you, sing with me.
Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross, one more time, sing with me. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work. Can you sing it just one more time? Do you want God to use it? Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there is the work that I can do. And even though it's humble, dear Lord, make my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. All right, let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Douglas if he'll come up. While Steve is coming to pray with us, let that be your prayer. Jesus, use me. He doesn't want to refuse you. The Bible said, he that cometh unto God or to the Lord, I shall in no wise cast out. And concerning all of them that have turned their hearts to God, the Bible says, Father, I have not lost to one of them. But everyone that you've given me, I will raise him up in the last day. You know, that ought to really give us a consolation, a feeling of consolation, to know that not one of us will be lost. Not one of us. For everyone that you've given me. So you might stumble and you might stagger. You might have a problem. It might seem that you'll never be able to get over. But like we sing the song, standing up upon the mountain, looking over into the city, I believe that I can make it after all. So then, while you're standing here, remember, he doesn't lose a one of them. Everyone that God has given unto him, he will raise him up in the last day.